जोराधमाधव कुंज विहदि जोराधमाधव कुंज विहदि गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरोधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरोधारी ईश्वरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन ईश्वरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरावन यमुना तीरावन सारे गौराध माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरोधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ यशोरानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारि यमुना तीरावन चारि गौराध माधव कुंज विहारि माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरस्तु श्री श्रीमरेशी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि वो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय हा गौर श्री असमलगौती हा गौर श्री असमलगौती हा गौर श्री असमलगौती श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad
Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, text number 19. Word meanings, Gopan, the cowherd men, Gokula Rakshayam, in giving protection to the state of Gokula. Nirupya, after appointing Maturam to Mathura, Gataha, went, Nandaha, Nanda Maharaj. Kamsasya, of Kamsa, Varshikyam, yearly taxes, Karam, the share of profit, Datum, to pay, Kuru Udraha, O Maharaj Parikshit, best protector of the Kuru dynasty.
Gopando
Kula Rakshayam. Nirupya Maturam Gata Nanda Kamsasya Varshikyam Karam Datum Kuru Dvaha Gopan Gokula Rakshayam Nirupya Maturam Gata Nanda Kamsasya Varshikyam Karam Datum Kuru Dva Gopango Kula Rakshayam Nirupya Maturam Gata Nanda Kamsasya Varshikyam Karandatum Kurudva. Karandatum Varandatum Kuru Dva Gopango Kula Rakshayam Nirupya Maturam Gata Nanda Kamsasya Varshikyam Varandatum Kuru Dva Ladies, okay, Kuru dynasty. Nanda Maharaj appointed the local cowherd men to protect Gokula and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kamsa. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Because the killing of babies was going on and had already become known, Nanda Maharaj was very much afraid for his newborn child. Thus he appointed the local cowherd men to protect his home and child. He wanted to go immediately to Mathura to pay the taxes due and also to offer some presentation for the sake of his newborn son. For the protection of the child, he had worshipped various demigods and forefathers and had given charity to everyone's satisfaction. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj wanted not only to pay Kamsa the yearly taxes, but also to offer some presentation so that Kamsa too would be satisfied. His only concern was how to protect his transcendental child, Krishna. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Gopan Gokula Rakshayam Nirupya Maturam Gataha Nandakam Sasya Varshikyam Karamdatum Kurudvaha. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, my dear King Parikshit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local cowherd man to protect Gokul and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kamsa." We're getting a view into the culture of the times. They had to pay taxes. Yes, as we have to pay taxes, as they say, there's nothing sure but death and taxes. So even during this time, the Vaishyas had to pay taxes to the king. I did a little search of the database for taxes. I came up with a few things. Let me read this. There are actually 2 points I wanted to cover today. One was about taxes, the other was about protection, which is the main theme of the verse. I'm going to read a few things here about taxes that Prabhupada says. As the Brahmanas and Vipras had a right to be subsidized by the state, the state executive's head had the right to collect taxes and fines from the citizens. So this is one of the reasons for the taxes, because the Brahmanas didn't have to earn a livelihood. They had a right to be subsidized by the state, because they're the teachers, the brains of society. So collect taxes from the others so the Brahmanas don't have to work. The Kshatriyas would collect taxes from the Vaishyas and Shudras, but the Brahmanas were exempt from paying income tax and land revenue. So Kshatriyas are the ones who collect the taxes. As Kamsa, the taxes are being paid here by the king, by the Vaishyas to Kamsa. Every king must know that his responsibility in administration is not merely to exact taxes from the citizens, but to see personally that the citizens under him are being worshipped. So he can't just take taxes and not do anything. He has to make the people Krishna conscious. It's part of his responsibility. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their incomes taken away, and these taxes are lavishly spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. I looked actually online, see what people pay in taxes, because we say, well, we pay our income tax if we're making any income, and we pay a certain percentage in a certain bracket we're in. But there's so many taxes we don't even think about. There's gasoline tax, there's gas on your electric bill, there's gas. There was a list I saw, it was like 30, 40 different taxes that we might possibly pay for this reason or that. So I saw a figure ranging from the average person pays from something like 30% to 50% of their income in one tax or another. So here Prabhupada says they can sometimes pay 80 to 90%. Fortunately, we're not there yet. Formerly, the taxes accumulated from the citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices as enjoined in the Vedic literature. So here's another use of the taxes, to have big sacrifices for pleasing Krishna, pleasing Lord Vishnu. If a king cannot give protection to citizens from thieves and rogues, both in the government service and in public affairs, he has no right to exact taxes from them. So this is another part of the king's responsibility. This may be his first responsibility. The first responsibility of government is protection. Of course, that entails different things. But at least, primarily, you could say physical protection of the people. So if they can't do that, if the king can't do that, then he has no right to take taxes from the citizens. In Kali Yuga, the kings and heads of state enjoy life at the cost of taxes exacted from the citizens. Such unfair taxation makes the people dishonest, and the people try to hide their income in so many ways. Eventually, the state will not be able to collect taxes, and consequently will not be able to meet its huge military and administrative expenses. Everything will collapse, and there will be chaos and disturbance all over the state. So here Prabhupada predicts a tax revolt that will destroy government. So then this is an excerpt from a conversation. Kshatriyas, they are levy tax. Kshatriya is given land. Now he divides the land. I have got, say, 2,000 acres of land, so I divide to the Vaishyas. 1,000 this man, 1,000 this man, 1,000. So on condition that I give you this land, you produce foodstuff and utilize anyway, you give me 25%. This is Brahmananda. 25% of the produce, Prabhupada. Whatever you have produced, Brahmananda. Not necessarily money, Prabhupada. No, Brahmananda. But the produce, Prabhupada. Yes, Brahmananda. The grains or milk or whatever, Prabhupada. Whatever, yes. Give me 25%. You utilize the land, so that resource, that is the resource of the land. So that's the way it worked. The Kshatriyas had the land, and they would let the Vaishyas work the land, but then they had to give 25% to the owner of the land, the person who's letting them use it. So here, Prabhupada uses the term, the state of Gokul. So I'm not sure exactly what region Kamsa was ruling over. He was a king, but we know there were so many kings. He ruled over different areas. So at least in his, he was sovereign there in a certain area, and he was a Kshatriya, of course, so people were... It was his land, at least in a certain way, and the farmers, the Vaishyas, had to give 25% of their produce. So this is what, pay the yearly tax. He probably calls it a yearly tax. That's what he translates it. Varshikyam, yearly taxes. I was thinking, I wonder how that worked. As your produce, you give 25%. I guess if you harvest in the fall, then it makes sense. You give 25% of your harvest. Of course, we know that the Brajbasis, they had all so much other opulence. We were hearing about it the other day, how they had gold and jewels and so on. But at least they have to give 25% of their produce. And Prabhupada says that not only did Nanda Maharaj want to give some produce, but he wanted to give something else too. He wanted to give some other gift to appease, just like he was appeasing others or giving in charity to others when his son was born. He also wanted to give something to Kamsa, hoping that Kamsa would be satisfied by this gift. Oh, you give me this gift, so I won't kill your child, because that's what I'm doing right now. Prabhupada says baby killing was going on, so we can imagine the atmosphere, the situation, how fearful everyone must have been. Here's the king who's supposed to protect everyone, and he's having all the children slaughtered, murdered. How horrible, what a situation. So naturally, Nanda Maharaj is afraid. He has to protect his son. That's his first concern, how to protect his son. He's not seeing him, of course, as God. He's seeing him as his son that he has to protect. So I thought it was interesting that some of the things that he did to protect his son, for the protection of the child, Prabhupada writes, he had worshipped various demigods and forefathers and given charity to everyone's satisfaction. So you might think, what is he doing, worshipping demigods, Nanda Maharaj? That's an interesting question, actually, the worship of demigods and how our attitude toward it and the attitude that we see during Vedic times, it seems to be that then it was actually just part of the culture. We know the Rukmini was going to the temple of Durga when Krishna kidnapped her. So Nanda Maharaj, for the protection of his child, he's worshipping demigods, he's worshipping forefathers. That's like even more strange to us. That's like what the Chinese do or something, right? Japanese. Worship your ancestors. So he's worshiping them for the protection of his child. So we wonder, what kind of a devotee was Nanda Maharaj anyway? So for us it all seems so strange because we're told, don't worship the demigods. Narottam Das Thakur just basically tells us, forget about the demigods. Worship Radha and Krishna. So we have that focus. Well, we can say it's because of Kali Yuga, maybe, we have to become more concentrated. And also, of course, the Bhagavatam refines everything for us, brings it down to the essence.
So this was the culture of the times of Nanda Maharaj. And it's not that he's not worshipping Lord Vishnu. I was thinking, who are Nanda Maharaj's household deities? Pundarik, do you know who? Varaha. I thought I remember going to Vrindavan and seeing that there was supposedly a deity that belonged to Nanda Maharaj of Varaha. So he's worshipping Vishnu Tattva in his home. And earlier there was a verse too where Prabhupada talked about him worshipping Lord Vishnu. The great-minded Maharaj Nanda gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the cowherd men in order to please Lord Vishnu, he says. Aradhana Artaya. Of course, that little, oh, Vishnu, Aradhana Artaya. For the purpose of worshipping Lord Vishnu, he was giving in charity. So he was certainly worshipping Lord Vishnu. And we would think, ordinarily at least, going to Lord Vishnu for protection, as we do. So this idea of protection comes up a few times in this verse and purport. First, Prabhupada says that the residents of Nanda Maharaj put the cowherd men in charge of protecting Gokula. Gokula Rakshayam. So Raksha, this is the word we hear, Raksha. Krishna, 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 Raksha Mam. Rama Raghava, Raksha Mam. So in that song, Krishna, protect me. Ram of the Raghu dynasty, protect me. Raksha Mam. So Gokula Rakshayam, the cowherd men were protecting Gokul. And part of the poetry of the verse, Kuru Udvaha means best protector of the Kuru dynasty. It's an address to Maharaj Parikshit. So we're taught, of course, to turn to Krishna for protection. In fact, many, many prayers that we have, the devotee, they talk about Krishna giving it protection. Of course, we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna comes to Paritranaya Sadhunam to protect the devotees or deliver the devotees. There's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. After the verse Krishna Vayam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam, that verse about Lord Chaitanya, spoken by Kadapajan, he's one of the Navayugendras. So he's talking about the different avatars. So when he mentions Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that verse, Krishna Vayam Tusha Krishnam, then there are two verses that follow immediately after that one. They both end with Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. I worship the lotus feet of the Mahapurusha. Mahapurushate, unto you. Mahapurusha, which Prabhupada also translates or rephrases Mahaprabhu. So this verse is taken by the Acharyas as glorification of Lord Chaitanya because it comes right after this verse. And it's also, of course, applied to Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, any Vishnu Tattva form of the Lord. So the verse says, Jayam Sada Paribhavagnam Abhishtadoham. So we have to go back to the end of the verse, Vandaya Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. So what do we meditate on? Jayam Sada. One should always meditate on the Mahapurusha's Charanaravindam, lotus feet. And what is the result of that? Paribhavagnam. So this is one of the examples of protection in this verse. Paribhava. Bhava means material existence. Maybe familiar with this phrase, bhava. Bhava sagara, the ocean of material existence. So paribhava, the way it's translated, is insults. I thought this was a nice way Prabhupada translated this verse. The insults of material existence. Or another way Prabhupada would translate it as the embarrassment of material existence. There's such an interesting, Prabhupada uses words so uniquely sometimes, so this is one of those examples. We're embarrassed by material existence. Our face should turn red with embarrassment. It's quite interesting because, of course, for the soul, yes, it is an embarrassing situation to be in. We're being insulted, just like if you're being insulted in public, we become embarrassed. So being insulted by the material energy, we should be embarrassed by our situation here because we don't belong here. Actually, we're fools. We should be embarrassed. I was thinking about that nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he takes that really heavy line against material knowledge. Jada vidya jato maya vaibhav, he says. Jada vidya, material knowledge, is maya vaibhav. It's the energy, the potency, the power of the material energy. Tomara bhajani badha, he says, it impedes one's bhajan. It's quite an interesting song, actually, since he was so educated himself. But in any case, that's what it does to ordinary people, you could say. It makes people think they're so smart. But anitya samsare, what does it say? Joha moha janamiya anitya samsare jibake kare gadha. What is the result of this? You get caught up in mrityu samsara, the cycle of birth and death, in the illusion of material existence. Jibake kore gadha, makes an ass of the living entity, he says. That's what happens, you become an ass. So how embarrassing is that? You're a jiva soul, you're an eternal servant of Krishna. You come to this world and become an ass, a foolish animal. So this is paribhava, the translation. We're insulted, we're embarrassed by the material energy, but dhyam sari paribhava gnam, G-N-A-M, or G-H-N-A-M. It blocks, it impedes that, it blocks that. When you meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, then you overcome that. Abhishta Doham, the verse goes on to say, Krishna's lotus feet, meditation on Krishna's lotus feet, fulfill the innermost desire of the living entity. Tirthaspadam shivavarun chinutam sharanyam. Those lotus feet create the holy places. Tirthaspadam shivavarun chinutam. Prabhupada often quoted these three words from this verse. Shivavarun chinutam means that Lord Vishnu is bowed down to by Shiva and Varinchi. That's Brahma. Varinchi is the name for Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Brityatiham pranatapala bhavadipotam vande mahapurushite charanaravindam. So again, brityati, britya means servant. So what does Krishna do for his servants? Brityatiham, hum means to kill or destroy. Arti means misery. That's without the H, A-R-T-I. Arti, just like the Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam Janak Sukutim Arjuna Arto Jigyatur Artarti. So Arti there means one who's suffering. So Bhityarti Hum, the suffering of his devotees, Krishna destroys. Bhitya. Bhitya, there's a really nice verse with Bhitya, and I like it because it's repeated, it's poetic, it's from the Mukundamala Stotra. Masjanmana palamidam madukaitabari matpratiniya marinugraha esha eva tad britya britya paricharaka britya britya brityasya britya itimam smaralokanata. So this is a britya verse. It's about servant. The devotee is praying, King Kulasekhar, that may the fruit of my life be that I will always have the service of the servants of your servant, and so on. So Krishna's servants are in a glorified position because Brityati Hum, Krishna destroys all of their misery. He gives that protection. Pranatapala Bhavadipotam, his feet are the boat for crossing material existence, and Sharanyam, they're worthy of taking shelter of for protection. So this is our general situation. We suffer in this world and we want that protection. We're in a fearful situation, just like Nanda Maharaj is in a fearful situation. So this is all, of course, a leader that's going on here. But our situation in this world is that we're always fearful. This is our condition. Yesterday I was doing a little meditation on birth, what that might be like for the child, what that experience might be like. Prabhupada says it's horrible, and if we just think about it, we can imagine how horrible it probably is. Being inside that womb, says that the body, fragile, tender body, is being bitten by little microscopic bugs in there, and uncomfortable, dark. And then, just actually, it's such a horrible condition that you keep losing consciousness. the jiva kind of starts coming awake, and then it's just too much and becomes unconscious again, over and over again. I had an experience like that coming out of surgery one time. I had surgery on my wrist. I couldn't, like, come out of the anesthesia, and it was almost like dying repeatedly. Kept passing out again. So in the womb, it's like that horrible condition. Passing out is like you're dying. And then what happens? Then you're forced out this little opening. It's pushed, and the mother is pushing, and maybe you can hear in the womb, the mother is screaming, ah! This is going on, so dark, and pushed out. And then the baby is, the shock of it, the baby can't even say anything right away, practically unconscious. Then a whack, and whack. That's how it starts. That's the beginning of our wonderful journey in this lifetime. Huh? And then what happens, of course, you don't know where you are, who you are, how you got there. I was saying a nice example, just like someone wakes up in a hospital with total amnesia. So not only does a person not know who they are, but then they decide, okay, well, I'll just try to make the best of it and go on with my life. And then the next thing you know, someone's chasing them down the street, shooting at them, running into them, beating them. All these things are happening, and they're thinking, what did I do? Did I do something? How did I deserve it? Why did I deserve this? Did I do something? I don't remember. So isn't that our life? Isn't it? This is what Sanatana Goswami says. Kyaame kenea maya jari tapatraya. He said, who am I? That's the first question. I don't know why I am. And why am I always getting beat up? Why are these miseries always attacking me? I don't know why this is happening to me. And of course, this is a good question because I want to know what to do so it doesn't keep happening to me. Right? That's the next intelligent question. How should I live so it doesn't keep happening to me? So this is our situation in this world. We're always fearful. So then there's this wonderful prayer. So naturally we call out to God. We're afraid of material existence. But there's this wonderful verse. I think it's in the Padyavali. Shruti mapare smriti mitare bhavata manye bhajantu bhajabita. The devotee says, actually says, let others worship the Shruti, Smriti, Mahabharat, Bhajantu, let them worship these Bhavabhita, Bhava, here's this word again, Bhavabhita, and Bhita means Bhaya, which means fear. Fearing material existence, people worship the Shastras or study the Shastras. But this devotee says, Aham iha vande nande yasyalande param brahma. As for me, I'm not worshiping them, I'm worshiping Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is playing like an ordinary child. So this is this devotee's realization. I'm not afraid of material existence, I'm too absorbed in worshiping Nanda Maharaj, being absorbed in Nanda Maharaj or in Krishna's Leela. That's my situation. So the devotee is actually, we could say, is Nanda Maharaj. What is he doing? He's protecting Krishna. He's not worried about his own protection. He's worried about protecting God. This is how, for the devotee, it kind of gets all turned around. We know that yoga maya is in control in the spiritual world. So it's a little bit topsy-turvy because Krishna is the one who protects us. We have no protection besides him. But in Gokul, those who have the rasa of parenthood, they think we have to protect Krishna. Krishna will die. If I don't feed Krishna, he's going to die. If I don't protect him from Kamsa, he's going to die. So they have no fear for themselves in this total absorption in protecting Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, this is his mood as he's going there. He's thinking, what do I have to do to protect my son? This is the ecstasy of his meditation. Even if I have to bribe Kamsa, this wicked person who's killing babies, I just have to protect Krishna. That's my only thought. So you can see how this very, very high level of meditation in the advanced devotees, pure devotees, like Nanda Maharaj, eternal servants of Krishna. So the verse again, Gopang Gokula Rakshaya Nirupya Maturam Gata Nanda Kamsasya Varshikyam Karan Datum Guru Dvaha. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, my dear King Parikshit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local cowherd man to protect Gokul and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kamsa." Any questions or comments? Krishna Gopal Prabhu?
He didn't do a good job.
The coward.
Krishna had to protect himself.
Exactly.
That shows how it's all illusion, actually. It's a kind of maya that we can protect Krishna. Actually, Krishna protected the whole village of Vrindavan. Lifted up with his little finger. And that's all he needs, his little finger. He can protect everyone. Lifted Govardhan Hill. So he shows sometimes. You think you're protecting me, but this is kind of illusion. I'm really doing it all. All right, no other, nothing else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.